And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Paul wrote to a young preacher, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 2, and gave him a charge while Paul was in the last little bit of his life, the last years of his life, and gave him this important charge to continue to spread the gospel that Paul had preached for so many years and had worked so hard and was about to die for preaching. And the charge that Paul gave Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 is a charge that is applicable to all of us as Christians. And I want to notice just a few of the details of this charge that we can apply to ourselves today. I want to notice, first of all, the content of this charge. You notice that Paul said, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses. We find that Timothy was introduced to Paul at Lystra. Paul went to Lystra in his first missionary journey in the book of Acts. And then when Paul was on his second missionary journey in Acts 16, the brethren recommended that Timothy help Paul. And so here's this man who had heard the preaching of Paul, and then this young man decides to go with Paul, and he accompanies him on many of his journeys. He was there at Philippi when the church was established. He was probably there at Thessalonica, at Berea, and he was even commissioned by Paul to go and do some work separate from Paul. That's how much trust he had in this young man, Timothy, whom he calls his son in the faith. So he had spent a lot of time with Paul, and 2 Timothy is this last book that Paul writes that is preserved for us in the New Testament. And Paul is on the brink of being put to death for the cause of Christ. And so he says to Timothy, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses. Well, what things would those be? Well, let's go back to another farewell statement of Paul in Acts chapter 20. When Paul was about to say goodbye to the Ephesian elders and he would see their face no more, he meets them at the city of Miletus. And he says to those elders of the church at Ephesus, he says, I am pure, Acts 20, verse 26, I am pure from the blood of all men. Why was Paul pure from the blood of all men, not guilty, no blood was on his hands? Because in verse 27 he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That is, Paul did not keep anything back from the Ephesians. When he taught them, when he preached to them, he preached the whole counsel of God. And so what Paul tells Timothy is to remember the things that I have preached. That's the whole counsel of God. Now, there are some topics, there are some issues that are harder to deal with than others. There are some places in the Bible, and I can point you to them, that people don't like to hear. But Paul preached even on those. He preached on all parts. He preached the whole counsel of God. He didn't just pick and choose the things that were popular. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he mentioned that he was going to send Timothy to them in verse 17, because he says, Timothy will remind you of my ways which be in Christ, which I teach everywhere in every church. That is, Paul did not teach one thing in one congregation because it was popular there, but then at another congregation he preached another thing. He preached the same thing, the same message, in every congregation that he was in. There are a lot of people today that have this idea of the occasional epistles of Paul. And if you mean that there is a certain occasion in which those are written and we should notice that and apply that to us today, I'm fine with us calling it that. But some people try to emphasize the occasion so much so that they try to take down on its applicability to us today. They would say, well, that was just written to Corinth. You know, Corinth was supposed to bring up a collection for the saints. That was just a certain occasion. And we don't have to do that on the first day of the week like we just did. We don't have to do that. Well, he preached the same thing everywhere in every church. And in 1 Corinthians 16, he had already given the churches of Galatia the same order. And so people today will try to take certain portions of God's word and say, well, we don't need to preach on that. That doesn't need to apply to us. Yes, there were certain occasions that Paul was dealing with, but the reason God has included it in his word is that it applies to us in some way. And so there are portions of the Bible that we preach, and we recognize that there are things that principles that apply rather than the particulars. This morning we talked about the Old Testament and how we don't follow all of those particulars of the Old Testament temple or tabernacle. You know, just like we don't follow Genesis 6 and make a boat for the saving of our house. Nobody's building a ship in their yard this morning, are they, in order to save their house. We recognize that was to a certain person at a certain time. But let's not discount all of the Bible just because we say, well, this is a particular occasion. The Bible makes issues of things that need to be made issues of. And so we have to follow all of what the Bible says. And that's exactly what Paul would go on to say in this letter. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he goes on to say to Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, that's showing us where we're wrong, for correction, that's showing us where we're right, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, throughly furnished, that's fully equipped unto every good work. So all Scripture accomplishes that. Every bit of this Bible that I hold in my hand has something for me that I need to get out of it. And so let's not take portions of the Bible and say, oh, we're not going to preach on those because people don't like that anymore nowadays. We need to take all. And so the content of what Paul told Timothy to preach was the whole counsel of God. The things that you have heard of me, Timothy, the content, all of it, I want you to pass along to other people. Now, secondly, notice the character of those people to whom Timothy would entrust this precious gospel. The things that you have heard of me, Timothy, the same commit to faithful men. He was supposed to commit these things to faithful men, men who would carry these things on and not turn back on the charge, that would go to the very end and be faithful to it and not turn back and say, well, these things aren't important anymore. These would be men that would be faithful to the charge that Paul had for Timothy and that Timothy had for them. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? I don't know about you, but a lot of times when we discuss somebody being faithful, we think about it in terms of their attending services. And don't get me wrong, that is part of being faithful to God, isn't it? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we find that there were some people that were in the habit of forsaking the assembly of the church. And they thereby were not faithful. But is showing up to every service of the church, is that all that constitutes faithfulness to God? There's much more than that, isn't there? I would suggest to you, if you read your Bible, if you read your New Testament, you'll find Ananias and Sapphira who lied to God and were put to death in the early church in Acts 5. They were there at services, weren't they? Or if you think about Corinth that we just talked about, there are some people at Corinth that had some problems. 1 Corinthians 5, one of those passages we don't really like to talk about, where the man had his father's wife. He was living in open rebellion to God. He was living in fornication. He was supposed to be put away from among them. So evidently he was attending some services, wasn't he? And so we have this man that's involved in that. We have them going together to law together, suing each other at the courts in chapter 6. We have some marriage problems in chapter 7. We have the eating of meats and the Christian liberties and problems with that in chapters 8, 9, and 10. In chapter 11, they had turned the Lord's Supper into a common meal, and they were just trying to show off about how much they had compared to the poor. In chapters 12, 13, and 14, they had problems with the spiritual gifts. In chapter 15, they even denied the resurrection, one of the most fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, upon which it either stands or falls. And so these people were attending, they were coming together, but in a lot of ways they weren't faithful, were they? Or finally, think about the lackadaisical Laodiceans and how they had the attitude that they didn't need anything. Now, I know that they were attending services because John writes to them a message that Jesus has for them, and it's supposed to be read to the church of Laodicea there, Revelation 3. And so they would be there present in the assembly like we are right now to hear the words that Jesus had for them. And yet Jesus said to those Laodiceans, "You make me sick. You're lukewarm. You're not on fire for me. I wish you were cold or hot and not just tepid, not just lukewarm." And so faithfulness to God is not just coming to the services of the church. That's part of it. And the thing that I think is we have trouble enough getting people to come to the services of the church, and yet that's not that all that is involved in faithfulness, is it? And so think about what it means to be faithful. Being faithful to God is who you are. It's a part of you. It's the way that you live day in and day out. Some people say, "Well, I brought my children up in the church and I don't know what happened to them." And I've seen examples where somebody, they bring them to services, but what that child sees on a daily basis in their home is far different from what we teach here. So did you really bring them up to be faithful? Now, on the other hand, there are several examples of people who really are faithful and live day in and day out, and yet their children choose not to be faithful. That's their own choice that they make when they're adults. But I'm saying this, let's not fool ourselves into redefining faithfulness into something that the Bible never teaches. Being faithful to God is obeying His commands day in and day out. And so as much as we like to make little checklists for ourselves and say, "Well, I've done that, and so I'm good," we need to really focus on what being faithful to God really is all about. So Timothy, you trust these things to faithful men who will be able then to teach others also. Third thing I want us to notice is the chain that this message would be passed through. Paul had taught Timothy, "The things that you have heard of me, Timothy," so that's the first link in the chain, "the same commit to faithful men," that's the second link, "who shall be able to teach others also," that's the third link. You know, Christianity is a religion that is passed from person to person. We are warmed by the fires that other people have kindled. There is a chain involved here. And so, as Timothy was so influenced by his mentor, Paul, his father in the faith, Timothy was to influence these faithful men, and if they were faithful, then they would influence other people as well. And so that goes back to what I was saying about the idea of faithfulness. A faithful Christian is somebody that has influence on other people. Now, they make their own decisions. But if you're living it, if you really are faithful yourself, you're going to have an influence on those that see you, and it's going to pass on to other people. So what kind of influence? Are you passing this on? Are you just the end of the chain? Or are you passing this on to somebody else? Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gives this great commission. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he gives the same idea that you go into all nations and you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, notice he said there that in Matthew 18, 20, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, what's one of the commands? To go into all the world. Isn't that a command that he just gave them? And so this idea of spreading the gospel is a self-replicating command that we involve ourselves in. Now, I want you to look at the map that's on the screen. I want you to consider something for me. We have a song in our book that reflects this beautifully. I want you to notice that in that map there of where Jesus lived in Palestine, what many people call the Holy Land, there are two bodies of water enclosed in that Holy Land that people call it. Up to the north, you'll see that there is a sea, a small lake, called the Sea of Galilee. And in the south, you'll see that there's another body of water, and it's called sometimes the Salt Sea, many times it's called the Dead Sea. Now, Jesus' disciples were, many of them, fishermen, who made their living on that northern body of water, the Sea of Galilee. You see, because the Sea of Galilee had fish in it. It was teeming with life. And all around it, there was all of this commerce, and There was all of this business taking place. There were no less than 9 populous cities on the borders of that small sea of Galilee. And as you can see, it received its water from the Jordan River, but it also passed it on. And so the reason this is teeming with life is whatever it received, it passed on. But the second body of water there in the south receives tons, millions of tons of water every single day, but doesn't give it to anything else. All it does is receive, but it doesn't give to anything else. It's a reservoir. And so is there any reason why, any question why that's called the Dead Sea? You and I need to choose whether we're going to be a conduit of God's blessings or whether we're just going to be a reservoir. If you receive wonderful blessings, which we all do every single day from God, if you're willing to give that to others and spread the message of the gospel of Christ to other people, you'll have eternal life like that Sea of Galilee. But if you just receive and you're just a hearer of the word and you don't spread that to anybody else, you're like that Dead Sea. There's no fish in the Dead Sea. They can't survive, and it's too salty, too many things in it. They can't live. And so there's no fishermen out there making a livelihood on the Dead Sea. It's dead. It's waste. So which one are we going to be? Are we going to be live, living like that Sea of Galilee, or are we going to be that Dead Sea? We have the choice this morning. And so I want you to think about what Paul commissioned Timothy to do. The things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the content. The same commit thou to faithful men, the character of those that would receive it, who shall be able to teach others also the chain by which it spreads. Paul then would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, that he is ready to depart. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. We went down to Tennessee this week to see Alyssa's family. And the sad thing about going and seeing your family is the departure time, isn't it? There comes a time when we all depart. You know, really, in this life, we can say the same thing Paul said. Our departure time from this life is at hand. It's nearby. It's going to be sooner for some people than it is for others, but really it's not very long for any of us, is it? Our departure is at hand. And the wonderful blessing that Paul was waiting for was that he said, I have finished my course. I've run the race. You know, I've fought the good fight of faith. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, verse 8, which the Lord will give me, and not to me only, but to them also who have loved his appearing. You know that there's a great reunion that's going to take place in heaven when this life's over. You think about those people that have tried to influence you for good in your life. Think about godly people who have lived out, who have been faithful Christians and lived their whole life as faithful Christians. Will you be reunited with them and receive a crown of life like they do when all of this life is over with? Or will you choose to give up on the race and not be faithful and not fight the good fight of faith and not fulfill the Christian charge, and so because of that, you will depart forever? You've got the decision to make this morning. And so we beg with you and we plead with you to make sure that you're faithful in Christ Jesus. What you need to do in order to get into Christ Jesus is simple. You have to believe the gospel, John 8:24. You have to repent or turn from your sins, Luke 13:3. You have to confess your faith in Christ before others, Romans 10, verse 10. And then you are baptized into Christ, where you receive the blessings of Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. That's how you become a child of God by faith, by being baptized into Him. And then when you do that, God adds you to His church, Acts 2, verse 47, and you can be on your way to that glory that awaited Paul, that awaited Timothy, and that awaits us if we're faithful until the very end. Maybe you've done those first things and you've given up the fight, you've stopped running the race and you need to come back. We pray that you'll come back and that you'll make things right by praying to God and asking for forgiveness. James 5:16 says that if we confess our faults, and we pray one for another, that God will heal us. God will forgive us. And so if you need to make a response this morning, either to be baptized into Christ or either to come back to Him because you've done that and you've wandered away, we pray that you'll make things right so that you can be part of that great reunion that'll take place when this life's over, where there will be no more departures. Why not come? Why together we stand, while we sing.